surely. Let my life produce impacts. Let my life count. Let my life carry value to my generation, to my organization. Lift your voice and pray. You are not praying. Let the heavens hear your voice. Celebra no cosita la badaya. La ikonto prende kaile meno cosita tay. Le prende kaile meno cosita tay. Lord, remember me, remember everyone under this atmosphere. Locate us with your blessing, Lord. Le prende cosita le meno cosita tay. La ikonto prende cosita tay. Le ikonto prende cosita le meno. In the name of Jesus. Lastly, hold the person by your left and right. Lord, remember my brother. Remember my sister. Let not he or her return back the way he came. The way she came. Lord, remember her. Remember her with your touch, with your power, by your mercy. In the name of Jesus.
Passing from here to Lagos for a conference, then to Warri, then I'm back again on Sunday. So, my sincere apologies. Yesterday we began, by the way, I want to say thank you again to the leadership of the Chapel of Mercy. Thank you. It's always an honor to bring God's word. Hallelujah. We began to discuss on the subject of impact, and I'll be very, very brief. We'll just walk with the time that we have, and then we'll pray. I was happy when I came in and I met a prayer going on. Hallelujah, because there are certain things that must be captured in any conference. There must be moments of intense prayer where people can pour out their hearts to the Lord. There must be a moment of the sound communication of Scripture. Hallelujah. Where people can learn the ways of God. Then there must be an opportunity that is allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to the needs of people. Every time people come before God, they come because they love Him, but they also come because they have real needs. And the character of love is that it gives, it responds. God will not call us to just come and seek Him in vain. We seek Him because we love Him. But there are consolations to our seeking Him. Hallelujah. So we discussed a few things. Let me run very quickly. We spoke about the fact that impact is different from fame. That there is a difference between impact and popularity. To be popular means to be widely known. To be impactful means to make a difference, a lasting impression in the lives of people. And we began to share a few things that God is interested in our being fruitful. Do not forget this. You can get the teaching. God is interested in your being fruitful. When you and I become fruitful, we bring glory to His name. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, when ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And we began to discuss a few principles that would help any believer to live a very impactful life. Number one, we said the first key is that you must have an experience with God. Do not forget that in order of priority, there is nobody who will be able to do any notable kingdom exploit outside of a genuine encounter with the God of the Bible. I did say yesterday that the God you know is the God you reveal to your world. Moses said, "Who shall I tell them has sent me?" And he said, "I am that I am." We must contend for a genuine experience with God. The apostle was speaking, he said, "But I know whom I have believed," he says, "and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day." So you must have an experience with God. Number two, we said you must be a visionary person, the power of vision. And I gave us two definitions I want to recap on very quickly. Number one, I told us that vision is a representation of your prophetic destiny in Christ. That everyone by his preordination has a purpose in Christ. There is an expectation that God has for every one of us here. No one is a biological accident. It doesn't matter the events that happen around your birth. The most important thing is that if you found your way here, then there is an assignment for you. Hebrews 10:7. Lo, I come, as it is written of me in the volume of the book, to do thy will. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 1:5. God was speaking to Jeremiah and he says, "Before thou camest forth, whilst you were in your mother's womb, I called you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and an expected end." So God is not wondering what to make out of your life and my life. There is a preordination. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before time," he had before ordained. It's a preordination. It's not something God is trying to find out. Every single one of us must know that there is a vision for your life and you must discover it. Another definition I gave us about vision is seeing things as they should be, not as they are. The second definition to vision, the ability to see things as they should be, not as they are. So you are a visionary person to the degree to which you can look past your current situation. The Bible says, "While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Are we together? Yes. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," there was a joy, there was a picture greater than where he was, "and it gave him capacity to endure the cross and to despise the shame." Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth for the things that are before me," he says, "I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ." Vision is the ability to see things as they should be. "What seest thou?" Jeremiah 1:11. "I see the rod of an almond tree." He says, "Thou hast seen correctly. I will hasten my word to perform it." That word you have seen, I will hasten to perform it. So we need to be visionary. And I challenged us yesterday, living an empty life and hoping for time to redefine your relevance is a wasted life. It's not a wise way to live. Everybody must plunge into God's ordination for you
in any capacity. It doesn't have to be directly ministerial. Are we together? Yes. Number three, very quickly, the third key that I want to give to us is value. You want to live an impactful life, you must be a valuable person. You want to live an impactful life, you must be a productive person. Productivity goes beyond the pulpit. It goes beyond just the church walls. You must be valuable and productive. Mark chapter 1 verse 37. The Bible says, when the men sought for Jesus, he went to go and pray. That was after his crusade. Such an impactful life. When they came to him, they said, all men seek for thee. All men. That is the product of value. You know you are valuable by who is willing to seek for you. And the inconveniences they are willing to make joyfully. Knowing that when they meet you, your value becomes a consolation to any price they have paid. If nobody is seeking you, it is because you are not valuable enough, or your value has not been refined enough. Are we learning now? Our world is full of people who have real problems, and nobody will follow you indefinitely. I learned this from Dr. Miles Monroe of blessed memory. He said, leadership is not about looking for people to lead and manage. Leadership is about cultivating your gift, deploying it, and serving with such excellence that men will notice you and give you in return the gift of loyalty. That is leadership. So leadership is not just about looking for people to manage. It's about deploying your potential so effectively that people will notice that difference and they will come around adopting your value system. Are we together? There were ordinary men who came to David in the cave of Adullam. Men who were in distress, they were in debt, they were downtrodden, there were all kinds of things, and he produced mighty men out of such people. Listen, let me tell you something. Our world today operates based on a reward system. Your reward is in your value. Your influence is in your value. Your fulfillment is in your value. You may want to write that down. If you are not living a rewarded life, it is because you have not contended for value enough. If you are not living a life that gives you access to kingdom influence, it is because you are not valuable enough. If you are not living a fulfilled life, it is because you are not dispensing value enough. You must pay attention to be valuable. As a preacher, your value is in your ability to understand the word of God and communicate that truth accurately, connecting people to faith and shaping their spiritual understanding. As a businessman, your value is turning whatever you have to products and services and serving people in excellence and with excellence. The reason why we always flock to the Nigerian Immigration Services for all our passport needs and all related issues is because you are valuable. There is no replacement to you. I've been here a number of times for the renewal of my passport, and I thank God for the access and the wonderful people here who have made it so easy for me. I remember, was it my first or second passport? I can't remember exactly. They alternated my name. So surname went to name, and I don't know how it was like that. And it was supposed to be a very difficult thing, but because this place was a place of value, it would take a long time to get that done, the processes, but I think in about an hour or two, I was done. Value. Are we together now? Yes. If you are not valuable, nobody will invest in you. That is for sure. It's an uncomfortable truth. Apostle, nobody seems to like me. No, they like you. It's just that they love their own destinies too. Nobody will risk and mortgage their destiny around a person or around any system that does not carry value. Are we together? This is very important. So you must challenge yourself and make a covenant with your destiny in this conference that I will be valuable. We are not called to do everything, but the giftings that the Lord has put within your heart, make up your mind to nurture it, develop it with excellence, and serve it with grace. and you will marvel and wonder at the rewards that will come to your life. You will bring great glory to the name of the Lord when you become valuable. Hallelujah. Again, I remind you that the reward system in the kingdom is connected to value. The reward system in the kingdom is connected to value. Your influence is connected to value. What does it mean to be valuable? The capacity to provide solutions. The capacity to provide solutions is the measure of your value. Spiritual solutions, economic solutions. Are we together? Psychological solutions. It doesn't matter. The reason why preachers are celebrated, the reason why preachers are rewarded in any ramification is because they are perceived to be valuable, at least in the matters of faith and spirituality. Let me tell you the truth. You don't need to market yourself, just be valuable. The Bible says, neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel. If you are truly valuable, the system was already designed by God's intelligence that men will look for you and fish you out. Are we together? I'm praying for someone here that as you cultivate, you discipline yourself to build value. Nations, not just individuals, will seek for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, can you help me, sound people? Can you work a bit on my sound? Just thank you. Hallelujah. Value. Everybody say value. Make up your mind that you are going to be valuable. Thank you. Thank you very much. That I will be extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. If God has gifted you to cook, cook as if you are cooking for presidents. If God has granted you grace to be a minister of the gospel, do it with grace. Don't come and stand before people and speak nonsense. You are incoherent. You are not coordinated. It's clear you don't know what you are saying. Nobody will come and sit with their wife and children listening to rubbish. Value. Are we together? If you're a diplomat, give your best to your job. Give your best to your job. Be diligent. Be diligent. With all due respect, let me challenge you, especially the officers who are working here. Make up your mind that under your watch and as far as discharging your duties are concerned, that the entire NIS will note you for competence and excellence. That every time they want to serve kings, you are the one they will remember. Are we together? Not that they will be embarrassed when nobles come and say, no, change the officer. If you put this one, they will embarrass the NIS. No, you should take that as a challenge and go and reinvent yourself. Make up your mind that I will be competent. I will be excellent. It's a covenant that I made with myself right from when God called me. That within the level and the measure of grace that has been given to me, I will not only love God, but I will serve His purposes with competence and excellence. Everyone say value. Very quickly, let me give you the next point. So number one, an experience with God, principles of impact. Number two, vision. Number three, value. Can I give you number four? Number four is called compassion. You can never make notable impact in the lives of people if you lack compassion. Compassion is beyond love. Compassion is the ability to be touched with the feelings of people's pain, the ability to be touched with the feelings of people's infirmity, the ability to put yourself in the shoes of people. It motivates you to want to help, because look at me, making impact requires a lot of energy, time. You will spend yourself and you will be spent. It takes compassion. If you are not motivated by compassion, you will not live an impactful life. You will be tired, you will be angry, you will be frustrated. Are we together? No. Life of impact. I recall many years ago, I would give the story humorously, that I went to preach somewhere many years ago when I started out, and it was in the rain. It was rainy. The church was not so far from my house, and they had invited me to come for a program, and I took out time, fasted, prayed. It was raining, and I said, look, I didn't want to keep these people waiting, so I made up my mind that I was going to walk through the rain. I was praying in tongues, walking through the rain with joy. Then when I got to the door of the church, the people were jumping, they were acting drama, they were enjoying, and They didn't even have a seat for me in front. You see that? Of course, those it was they are good people, I believe. They just were doing what they knew to do. And in my mind, I was thinking to myself, I said, can you imagine these people? I took out time to fast and pray, trekked in the rain, and I got here. And I mean, the youths were jumping, they were happy, they were singing. When I came, I sat there. They said, sorry, I should be patient. They still have drama to act. And you know, they acted drama, no problem. And then at the end of it, they just said, you know what, please, because time is gone, can you manage maybe 10 or 15 minutes? Now, you need to have compassion to continue ministry. You get what I'm saying now? Yes. Because if you are not compassionate, even if you are anointed, you most likely will not return there. It takes compassion. You notice the Bible never said Jesus was moved with power. He demonstrated power, but what moved him was compassion. There are many anointed people who are not compassionate. You need to be compassionate. I told you, compassion is beyond love. You must be touched with the feelings of people's infirmity. As a man of God, when you are compassionate towards people, you will pour your heart to give them your very best. You will prepare your very best, knowing that their destinies are connected to your efficiency. It's called compassion. Are we together? One more story to demonstrate compassion. I would learn a lesson. Much younger version of me. We went to a church, wanted to borrow instruments. We were going to have a crusade. And there was no hope of even raising any money for anything. And so we decided to go to a church. Churches used to help us with their instruments. And so we went and sat down there. The man preached a powerful... I think that was about my first encounter with what we know as Pentecostal circles. I was born evangelical. And so I went to this Pentecostal church and they were happy. They were talking, I think it was about Solomon's wealth or something like that. I wasn't even interested in what they were saying, but I didn't know why the people were jumping and happy. Quite honestly, because we're evangelicals, everything was souls, sinners, missions. And so here am I, I'm watching, I'm saying, what are these guys talking about? And then, when the service was done, you know, three or four young boys, we went and met the pastor, and we said, sir, we're young boys here in this school, want to hold a small crusade, and we're hoping we'll get instruments. And that man insulted us and gave it to us. I mean, I could not believe it. The shock was not the insult. The shock was comparing two people. One who was preaching a few minutes ago with power and sweating, sharing the grace. And then a few minutes later, that's the same man using every kind of word you can imagine. And I remember going back as a very small boy with an impression. I said, I will not do this to anyone. Compassion. Let me tell you something about people. People do not care how much you know till they know how much you care. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. You're a man of God here. Let me give you a great advice. Preaching prowess and anointing has its role in drawing people. But a major part of the people who will come and be part of your life will come because of your compassion, not just your preaching ability. There are people who may not be as sound, as it were, doctrinally. They may not have so much capacity to deliver scripture, but their hearts are hearts of gold. And people will rather stay with a man who is limited with a heart of gold than one who is excessively vast in scripture, but there is another side that is almost like a beast. Be compassionate. Are we together? It takes a high level tolerance. Hear what the Bible says. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not when you speak in tongues, not when you raise the dead, not when you preach well, when you have love one for another. Is someone learning? The subject of compassion has been downplayed across the body of Christ. I think it's the reason why we do not see much happening. Love is powerful. That's what defeated sin and death. The Bible says even faith works by love. Practice love. Be compassionate. When you see someone crying, don't say, why are you crying? You are acting like a child. Compassion puts you in the person's shoes. What is this person going through that may have necessitated this? And you can reach out. Let me tell you this. Genuine power flows from the standpoint of love. You want to see the power of God in your life? Don't just fast and pray alone. Pray that the love of God towards Jesus and towards his people be imparted upon your life. And then you will see the grace of God in your life in an unusual way. I love my people with all my heart. I don't just teach them, I love them. It is the reason why I give the very best. They know. I'm not using them for fame. I'm not using them to make a name. I repeat to you that people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. People know when you are trying to use them to make a name. People know when you are just trying to make merchandise out of them. When people know that you are compassionate, they will give all kinds of excuses about your life. Are we together now? But when people find out that you are cruel, you are inhuman, you will not have it well with them. There are many of us, our hearts have been turned. It's like we have lost that human feeling. Maybe because of the things that have happened in our lives. So much pain, so much trouble, and we are not compassionate at all. People cry, you don't care. People are bereaved, you don't care. Hallelujah. It was one thing growing up that I learned from the evangelical, didn't have all the soundness in Revelation, but if there is a bereavement, in 2 hours, you'll see people singing choruses already going to that house. Women will stay there, sleep there for days. But with all due respect, in many of our Pentecostal circles, sometimes we need God to help us a bit on this area. Thanksgiving, you find people. Buying a car, you find people. But when people have a lot of pain, everybody is busy. We must be compassionate. I hope you are learning. I hope there's compassion in NIS. I hope there's compassion among the Christian people, that the pain of one is the pain of all. You must throw away individualism. The pain of one, don't say it's not my concern, I don't care. No, the kingdom mindset looks at the overall good of everyone. If I am doing well and you are in pain, it is still my business, because if I win and you lose, the kingdom lost. It is only when we both win that the kingdom wins. Is someone learning? You must pray that God will make you a compassionate person. Now, let me tell you the side effect of being compassionate. People will take you for granted. And sometimes it will pain you that people ride upon your compassion. But let it not change your attitude of compassion. Because I know that some of you started, you were compassionate people. They will come and lie and collect money. They will whip up sympathy. Unfortunately, that is the side effect. It's the reason why people have closed their hearts. But if you must make impact, I tell you, you must have a heart of compassion. Immediately after this discussion, I'm on my way to Lagos tonight and tomorrow. And then I head to Warri. And then I return back on Sunday straight for a miracle service. It takes more than compassion. Why will I put myself under that kind of stress? Compassion. Not a name. You see that now? Compassion. It is compassion that will wake you up in the night to pray for a family that you may not even know, because they shared some pain that you heard in church. A burden from the Lord comes upon you and you are in. They may never know you are praying for them. But you are driven by compassion. I'm praying for you. May God connect you to compassionate people. And may God make you a compassionate person. Are we together? Don't just aspire to be a powerful person alone. Don't just aspire to be a revelation full person alone. Your heart must have a rich capture of compassion. Say compassion. Yes. Don't rejoice at the pain of people. Don't rejoice when people go through pain. A family is going down and you are happy. No. Someone has an accident, is in the hospital, and you are saying, you know, I saw this thing. Why didn't you stop it? Compassion. Love people more than your reputation. Love people more than career. That's literally what caused God to leave his throne and come, becoming an incarnate that you call Jesus. Love. For God so loved the world. Say that after me. For God so loved the world. Not for God was so powerful. He is all powerful. But the principal motivation behind the work of the cross is love, not power. He was already God all by himself. It was within his power to wipe the human species and start again. He did not lose his creativity. In Amos chapter 3, I think it talks about compassion in such a profound way. It talks about a shepherd that the lion came and ate the lamb, and all that was left was 2 ears and 1 leg. Or was it a leg and 2 ears? Yet the shepherd still battled the lion, and all that was left of that lamb. Can you imagine? Imagine that a lion comes to eat up a lamb. He's eating everything, and all that is left was the ear and the leg, and yet the shepherd still fought it. Very profound scripture. Because if there is an ear to hear the truth and your feet to take a step of faith, there will always be recovery. The dry bones did not even have ear and leg. They were all bones, yet they came back to become an exceeding great army. The meaning of that is that you must believe in people. Compassion makes you to tell someone it's never late. For as long as you are alive, you can still start again. Maybe this is a prophetic word for someone. You have mismanaged your life, mismanaged your days. Let me tell you, the Bible says there is hope for a tree, that even if it be cut off at the scent of water, there remaineth this tree: faith that moves mountains, hope that makes not ashamed. Are we together? Yes. And the greatest of all, the Bible says, is love. Have compassion towards people. You may need to reach out to someone you know has been going through a lot of tragedy. You've noticed that someone is in your office and it looks like bad luck is just following the person. It's compassion that will make you to invite him for a conference like this. Not just a desire to fill space. In gathering was not supposed to be motivated by a desire to show that results are needed. But it is compassion that makes you to draw people. You clearly can see that there are yokes and curses in the life of this man. And if this man is left the way he is, himself, the wife, and the children will be destroyed. And compassion will make you insist, even if it's to pay for his transport, let him come to the house of the Lord and find deliverance. In addition to an experience with God, in addition to vision, in addition to value, I'm adding to your knowledge. You want to make an impactful life? Compassion. Let me give you the final one and we'll pray. Is someone learning? Compassion. Compassion. Supernatural empowerment is the last key that I would give you, and then we'll pray. The last and final key that is responsible for a life of impact and exploits, in addition to all that I've mentioned, is supernatural empowerment. In all you're getting, if you lack genuine empowerment, you cannot make impact. In this kingdom, we do not produce God's dimension of results in the strength of the flesh. Please listen again. In this kingdom, we do not and cannot produce God's dimension of results with the strength of the flesh. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Peter was speaking in the house of Cornelius, and he made a very profound statement. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the Bible says he went about doing good. Please say doing good. One more time, say doing good. He went about doing good. It takes more than compassion to do good. In addition to that foundation of vision, compassion, you need to be empowered. Listen, Jesus took out time to mentor his disciples for a period of 3.5 years. But in as much as he had taught them everything that he would teach them about the kingdom, he still mandated them. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem. Their issue was no longer ignorance. He mentored them personally. Yet he said there's still another component missing. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need genuine spiritual empowerment. There are two dimensions to spiritual empowerment. Number one, there is empowerment that produces wisdom. And then there is the empowerment that produces power. Every time we talk about empowerment, most people just think anointing, power. But the Bible says Christ is revealed as the wisdom of God and is revealed as the power of God. You cannot manage spiritual power if you lack wisdom. What gives value to spiritual power is wisdom. The oil needs the vessel to be complete. You cannot fetch the oil on your hand. It will spill away. The oil must be preserved in a vessel. That vessel is wisdom and the oil is power. For most people, they do not contend for the wisdom dimension of empowerment. They focus only on power. And power comes with a lot of leakages because wisdom is a preserver. Is someone learning now? But by all godly means, you need genuine spiritual empowerment. And empowerment is not just for men of God. To the average person, when we talk about empowerment, our idea is just miracles and healings. That is wonderful. That's an aspect of power. But let me tell you the truth. It takes genuine power to subdue all the forces that have been released by hell to thwart the purposes of God over your life. Psalm 66 verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. It says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. Their enemies will not submit themselves because of intention. It takes power. It takes power. It took power for Moses to advocate the exodus of God's people in Egypt. It takes power to build a glorious destiny. It takes power to prosper. Deuteronomy 8:18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power. It takes power. It takes power to retain whatever God gives you. It takes power to advance in ministry in the midst of wickedness. Are we together? It takes power to prosper in a place like this. Someone can look at you and say, I don't like you. And because I don't like you, provided I am here, you will not be promoted, you will not rise. It takes more than counseling. You don't need counseling. What you need is power. Someone say power. Let the devil hear you. Yes, sir. Spiritual empowerment is very vital. You cannot do ministry without power. You cannot raise your children without power. You cannot ward off the arsenals of darkness that have vowed to destroy your destiny without power. You cannot break through the prejudices that come in our world, tribal prejudices, racial prejudices. It takes power to prevail. Many of us, you have some of these points that I've listed. You've pressed to see them work in your life. But perhaps the one thing that is missing is the empowerment of the Spirit. I have found David my servant, Psalm 89 and verse 20, and with my holy oil have I anointed him, that the enemy shall not exert upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before him. Hallelujah. Very powerful expression. I have found David my servant. I learned this early in life and in ministry. Let me tell you sincerely, if you do not contend for genuine spiritual empowerment, you will not go far in life. No. It takes power to ward off the forces that stop your destiny helpers from reaching you. Is it not Paul who said, I desire to come to you, even I, Paul, once and again. He said, but Satan hindered us. There are many things that should have arrived to your life based on the timing of prophecy. But between prophecy and manifestation, there are forces determined to see that the faithfulness of God will not be in your life. It takes power. Unnecessary lamentation does not produce results. It may console you, but it may not produce results. You need empowerment. Are we together? I have learned by experience that Satan is not a friend. I have learned by experience that Satan is not an ally. have learned by experience that Satan is not lazy. There is no limit to his determination to destroy you. You don't have to look for anybody's trouble. Once you find yourself in this side of God's kingdom, you become a potential for Satan's attack. Let me tell you something Jesus said about Satan. John 10:10. The A part says the thief, he calls him the thief, but that he cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Not to steal or to kill or to destroy. He can do all three at the same time. He can steal, he can kill, he can destroy. Someone say, no way. No. The name of Jesus takes power to define your possibilities. So that you don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden they tell you something is growing in you. And after 1 month they say it's cancer. You are about to die. That is the devil. It takes power to ward off these demonic assaults. By reason of what I do, I have seen attacks of the devil over the lives of people firsthand. I know he does not spare. He is so vicious, he does not spare children. He does not spare the young, the old, the innocent, the guilty. Everybody is a potential victim for Satan.
Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. The Holy Ghost power, rest on me. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Holy Ghost power.
I remember one morning, I woke up in the morning and I can't remember what I was doing, and here was a vision open over me, and I was watching the burial ceremony of my mother. My mother is still alive, but I was watching, seeing that they were doing the burial and doing everything, and I said, no, not when I'm here. The Bible says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. He says, in old age they will be fat and flourishing. Can I tell you, what you tolerate is permitted to happen in your life. My assignment is to get you angry, living a life of impact. And when you don't plant in your farm, something will still grow. A definition to weeds are unwanted plants. Unwanted to you. A cow can eat it, but not you. It is unwanted with respect to your desire. Power affords you the opportunity to rewrite your destiny, to use the creativity of an artist and draw the destiny that is consistent with scripture. You allow life to just work like that. I remember when I saw that, I said, no, in the name of Jesus Christ, I stand as a gate over my family. I sought for a man who would stand in the gap. You see that now? There are many of you, the reason why what God has told you has not come to pass is because you have not applied power to prophecy. You are just carrying prophecy, God said. You are just carrying scripture, God said. It takes power. Here's what the Bible says. His divine power, according as his divine power, had given us all things. There is nothing you will ever get in this kingdom that is not power dependent. Promotion, power dependent. Lifting, power dependent. Open doors, power dependent. Advancement in ministry, power dependent. Raising responsible children, power dependent. Not just rules and regulations dependent. You can be as serious a parent as you are, and they will go somewhere and come back like devils. It takes power. Are we together? It takes power to force your portion to come to you in life. The Bible says the increase of the earth is for all, and that even the king is fed from that which comes from the field. But your portion will never come to you until power is engaged. Are we together now? There are giants on every mountain. There is no mountain that is empty. When God gives you a portion, your first assignment is not rest. Your first assignment is warfare. Nobody goes to a mountain finding rest. You find rest after you've discomfited enemies. Apostle, my challenge is that Abuja has not opened up for me. It's because you've not been serious enough. There are gates in every city. Until you swing them open hither and thither, you may be in that city and spiritually you are outside the city. It's the reason why you cannot prosper. You can't move forward. Are we together now? It takes power to tell gates, be lifted up, be opened. Ancient doors, they are called ancient doors, older than you. They are demonic systems that have been constructed across territories to keep men down. Abuja has its own. Lagos has its own. You find people within a territory, they don't prosper, they don't go forward. Strangers come and they are blessed. And you who is domiciled here, you don't go anywhere. It takes power. Say power. One more time, say power. Yes, sir. Apostle, I have a great church, but nobody's coming. You are joking. There are too many sinners for it to be empty. It takes power. It says go to the highways and the byways and compel them. It didn't say advise them. Compel them is the Greek word anakazo, a compelling power. Your destiny helper will never arrive your life just by wishing. No, your helper will pass you again and again and again and again. It takes power. Hallelujah. Let me wrap up with this. There are three ways we access spiritual power, and then we'll pray. Three ways. Number one, you can access spiritual power directly from God through encounters. The first way we access genuine empowerment, genuine spiritual empowerment, is directly from God through encounters, like it happened to Solomon. Solomon had an encounter with the God of the Bible and he received an impartation of power. Moses had an encounter with the burning bush and God, through that experience, empowered him directly. Number two, the second way we access power is through light from Scripture. Light from Scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3, 3 and 4. The Bible says God came down from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. When you get to verse 4, the Bible says that the brightness, his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hands. And Amplified will say, there in that sun-like splendor is the hiding place of his power. God's power is always hidden in his word. He sent forth his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Light from Scripture. Son of man, he said, stand upon your feet. Ezekiel chapter 2, 1 and 2. He did not have the empowerment to stand. Verse 2 says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Light must come from Scripture and enter into you and set you upon your feet. The statement, arise, shine, is a statement of power. It's not a suggestion. It takes power to arise, then it takes power to shine. For your light has come. So when you stay with the word, light comes through Scripture, and from that illumination you will do valiantly. Number three, the third and the final way we receive the anointing, empowerment of the Spirit, is through the mystery of impartation. The mystery of impartation. He sent a word to Jacob and it lighted upon Israel. He started with Jacob, it ended with the nation Israel. Every time God empowers men, the intention is not for them to be the only carriers of that grace. They become distributors of that possibilities to those who have the discernment and the humility to receive. Are we together? Paul spoke about ye being partakers of my grace. Partakers of my grace. When it was time for Joshua to assume leadership, God called Moses and said, take Joshua the son of Nun, in whom there is the Spirit, and lay your hands upon him. And then he says, take some of your honor and place upon him. Honor is transferable. You can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is transferable. It's a grace. What is honor? The capacity to be perceived correctly and to be rewarded to match your sacrifice is called honor. Many people do not have honor. Hallelujah. Impartation. And there are laws. I'm not teaching on the anointing, but there are laws that govern impartation. Just because you find a career and you find one who is desirous of the impartation does not mean you will receive. There are laws that govern impartation. Number one is a recognition of the investment of God upon the person whose life or whose grace you desire to receive. In the presence of dishonor, there is no transference. It doesn't matter whether it's a gallon of oil that is poured on you. In the presence of dishonor, there is no transference. If you can see me as I am taken, if you can see me, the sons of the prophet saw Elijah, they knew he was going, but it was not a big deal. If you can see me, hallelujah. Honor, genuine connection. We are going to pray. God called for this conference, I believe, because it is the season for someone to rise from mediocrity, to rise from your low levels in your prophetic destiny to a point where the nations will celebrate Jesus in your life. And I'm telling you that in addition to having an experience with God profitable for your spiritual upkeep, in addition to vision directing you and giving your life a bearing, in addition to value giving you capacity to be desired and rewarded, in addition to compassion helping you to connect to people's needs, you need empowerment, genuine spiritual empowerment. We are going to be praying in a few minutes and you are going to cry unto God the dimension of grace required for my next level in destiny, actualizing my prophetic destiny. Let it rest upon me. Someone open your mouth and begin to pray. Go ahead and pray. Someone pray.
Oh, salvation has come. Oh, deliverance has come. Oh, my lifting has come.
Go ahead and pray. Declare by the Spirit, it's a new season for me in life, it's a new season for me in ministry, it's a new season for NIS, it's a new season for Chapel of Mercy, it's a new season. Someone pray. Shebranda kabarakato sanika bragada balakata shakrabada kadeska balanta kaparaso braski balakatoria tana ragada barana da kapari I rise up by the strength of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. I believe in the ministry of power. Now you're going to pray. I want to release my faith with you that everything that is inconsistent with lifting, everything that is inconsistent with rising, everything that is inconsistent with joy, inconsistent with peace, you are going to pray. Mention it and declare that it will fall off your life. Go ahead and pray. Receive your spray.
Amen.
One more prayer. The Bible says, by you I can run through a troop. It says, by my God I can leap over a wall. You're going to pray a prayer of advancement. I don't know what has stopped you from going forward. Let me tell you the truth. My Bible, your Bible says, the path of the just is as a shining light. Is that in your Bible? It shineth more and more unto a perfect day. You are going to declare forceful advancement in ministry, forceful advancement in your destiny. Don't be silent.
Amen.
Speak over your life. You see, prophetic words are very powerful. I know we're out of time. We may not have the time. Help that lady. There are two more ladies that will shout right now as I'm speaking by the power of God. Salika Fraskevala Shopresi. The operation of witchcraft. I'm seeing a lady. The fire of God is coming upon you. The Lord is saying, the operation of witchcraft comes to an end. Comes to an end. Please help them. Comes to an end. Sabrate baleke barantos kubias. I wanted us to pray, but the waters is still. I will ask you to bring those people out right now. I stretch my hands. Everyone who is a victim of witchcraft, please bring them out. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare now. I speak to every spirit that has tied down destinies, kept people bound. In the name of Jesus, I come by the rod of a higher priesthood. Please bring them out very quickly. I decree and declare, be set free now. Be set free now. Be set free now. I declare liberty by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Liberty by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Liberty by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Liberty by the Spirit. The Lord is showing me someone. I'm seeing chains around your leg. This is what I'm seeing. I'm about to pray for you. The power of God comes upon you and that chain must give way. I stretch my hands and I decree and declare, wherever you are, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, that chain right now, it breaks now. It breaks. That chain breaks now. That chain breaks now. That chain breaks now. In the name of Jesus. I'm hearing in my spirit delay. There are people here, at least seven of you, the spirit of delay, you've seen it trap you. I'm praying for you. The power of God is coming upon you. I don't know what this has done to you. It has tied you down. My God, I stretch my hands. Let that fire bring them out now. That spirit of delay, I decree and declare, lose God's people now. Lose God's people now. Lose God's people now. Lose God's people now. Please very quickly bring them out. Let's save time. Lose God's people now. Delay this way now. I decree and declare, every covenant that has tied you, tied your family, tied your abacus papariata, I will not let you go free. I speak prophetically. Be delivered now. Be set free now. Be delivered now. Be set free now. Be delivered now. Be set free now. Hallelujah. The Lord is asking me to minister to someone. Every time something good is about to happen in your life, you go and you have a dream. Either you are seeing yourself, whether in a former school, you are seeing yourself doing something, and that opportunity is just aborted. Fire is about to come upon you. In the name of Jesus, I don't know who that person is. This spirit has tied you down. You are not going forward in your life. But I decree and declare right now, let that fire rest upon you. Let it come upon you and set you free. Be free now. 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 From oppression, be free now. Hallelujah. There are two people. I'm going to pray for everyone, but there are two people. The grace for speed. There is a grace for speed, bringing you acceleration. The power of God is resting upon you right now. Two of you. Just two of you. Speed. In the name of Jesus, I strengthen you in the spirit. I strengthen you. Make progress. Go forward. I push you by prophecy. Go forward. Make progress. I release that grace upon you. 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year. I say it to you prophetically. 10 years in 1 year. In the name of Jesus Christ. 10 years in
in 1 year. Help that woman, please. 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year. I say it again. Whatever has tied you, I lose you. I lose you. Speed. Receive that grace now. Speed. Receive that grace now. Speed. Receive that grace now. Done. The Lord is speaking to me and he's saying, rebuke the spirit of death. There is a family. Rebuke the spirit of death. I don't know who that person is, but I'm about to pray. Every plague on your head and upon your loved ones, programming death, whether to accident, that you will leave your house and not come back again, and they will say he was survived by, I stretch my hands wherever you are right now. By the rod of a higher priesthood, I declare, oh death, where is your sting? And oh grave, where is your victory? Be delivered this moment. Be delivered this moment. From the sting of death, be delivered. From the plague of the grave, be delivered. I shut the gates of the grave, and I declare that it opens no further. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now hear me. For those who are here in front of the various cases God brought you out, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that everything God is setting you free from, your liberty remains forever. I'm wrapping up this prayer, but please help the one person. I just saw a vision. I saw light resting on one person now. Light. The Lord is saying, I should tell you, you are entering a new season. I don't know anything about the promotion system as it works here, but every time I see this vision, I'm seeing a ladder and I'm seeing people climbing it. Go and write it down. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a ladder and I'm seeing you climb it. Okay, this is the time of promotion. Yesterday and today. Okay. Because this, I'm seeing a ladder. This is what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing like files on a table. And I'm seeing a ladder. People are climbing. This is what God is showing me. In the name of Jesus, everyone who is due for promotion, I decree and declare, no power will stop your rising. No power will stop your being promoted. I place a grace upon you. Find favor with your superiors. Find favor with your superiors. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've prayed for things. Now let me pray for your walk with God. Whatever has destroyed your prayer life, your capacity to pray and travail has died. Your passion for spiritual things have died. I pray for you. Fire from heaven. Let it rest upon you. Prayer fire from heaven. Let it rest upon you. I reignite your prayer life. I reignite your passion for the word. I reignite your passion for the things of the spirit. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. I cut you away from every association that is derailing you from the path of God. I declare those relationships are severed forever. Madam, look at me. This woman kneeling down. The power of the Holy Ghost is coming upon you. You will begin to pray in the spirit. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, this woman, you are holding her hand. I declare, let it be a river that flows from within your spirit. God will start giving you dreams, very prophetic dreams. You will start seeing things before they happen. Let that grace rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be praying for the leaders immediately after. But please open your mouth and ask one thing that you are trusting that God will do between now and the next 1 month. What are you trusting God for? That you know will make. Don't ask foolish things. Ask with wisdom. I'm releasing my faith in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. go ahead and pray. That one thing, maybe your husband, maybe the salvation of a loved one, maybe you are here, you are not part of the NIS, you are trusting God for a job, maybe you are trusting God to increase you, you are trusting God to reveal his prophetic blueprint to your life. Go ahead and pray. 1 minute, you are praying with faith in your heart, knowing that you are praying unto the King of Kings, the one who answers prayer. Ale shalandas radibala shabra gebere de katus kaplanda braha farsis. Unto thee that answers prayer shall all flesh come. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray for those who are here in front and for everyone who is here represented. In the name of Jesus, the fire that you will take as a souvenir, that will be a testimony that you encountered God, may that fire rest on you. The wisdom that you need to live an impactful life, I declare it rest on you. The favor that you need to make constructive progress in your life, may it rest on you. The ministry of destiny helpers that you need to hold your hand and help you scale your progress, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, find favor with helpers. I prophesy to someone that these Egyptians you see today, in the name of he who died and rose again, you will see them no more forever. You will see them no more forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare prophetic blessings over the NIS. That everything that has closed the gate of help and favor over the NIS, in the name of Jesus, particularly believers, we declare, let that gate of favor be opened. Believers will not be victimized, yeah? Those due for retirement will retire with honor. Those due for promotion will be promoted with honor. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, no one will be buried in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Give Jesus praise. All of you in front, God bless you. Return to your seats, gloriously seated. Please let me very quickly, two things very quickly. Let me request for one person. I made an altar call yesterday. I believe there's one person who needs to make his way right with Jesus. For the sake of that one person, I want to take out a minute. Perhaps you were not here yesterday, you were invited. And whilst you heard me teach all through the sessions, the Holy Spirit began to minister to you. You are in this place. I know we're out of time, but for your sake, we can spare a minute to make sure that your ways are right with Jesus. For you, and then number two, for someone who wants to rededicate his life. You are saying, I am not happy the way my Christian life is, and I know that I need Jesus. Wherever you are, I'm going to count 1 to 5. Don't wait for anybody to be the first. Very boldly, I want you to stand up, leave your seat, and come and stand in front here. No one will force you. You don't have to. But for someone who is willing to win that war, go ahead. One. Let's celebrate them as they come. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Is someone coming? God bless you. Thank you for the courage. Chapel of Mercy, you can do better than this. Let's encourage them. Encourage them. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, my brother. The Lord sees you as you come. Come. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, sirs. Thank you for responding to this call. This is the noblest decision any man can make in this side of God's kingdom. May I request that you please lift your right hand and pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again, say it, for my justification. Right now,
I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name we pray. My Father, thank you for these ones. The Bible declares that as many who come to you, you will in no wise cast away. By the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven, and I declare that you begin a new walk with God, walking in holiness and true righteousness, and the Lord will bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please, may I request that, are they going back to their seat or they are following someone? Please follow this brother. They will just pray a prayer with you in 1 minute and you are back to your seat. Where are the escorts, the executives? Very quickly, if you are an executive, you are an escort, please can you rise? Let's appreciate them and step forward. Please honor them. Honor them. They are your leaders.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. Where the victors come, you overcome, you overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. Where the victors come, you overcome.
Hallelujah. Let me just say something for 1 minute and then we'll pray. Leadership is a very serious responsibility. You'll be receiving an impartation from God and by God. The Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. A spiritual leader is one who is responsible for piloting God's program, piloting the spiritual growth of God's people. And like I taught, more importantly, this message is for everyone. Everyone leader here. An encounter with God, vision, value, compassion, empowerment. Thank you for giving me the honor to speak over your lives, and I'm going to pray that God will strengthen you. Stretch your hands, everyone, the congregation, and just pray for 1 minute over their lives as we stand under the corporate anointing to speak over these people. Every good thing you want to see in their leadership and in this tenure, please speak it to their lives. Go ahead and pray. Every good thing, wisdom, pray it over them. Help of God, pray it over them. Character, pray it over them. Integrity, pray it over them. Longevity of impact, pray it over them. Sensitivity in the spirit, pray it over them. Their health and their well-being for them and their children, pray it over them. He said, the Lord increase you more and more, you and your children. Pray it over them. Someone pray, particularly for those who will be serving the word, that they will be instant in season and out of season. No compromise. That they will minister with grace and integrity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for our precious leaders. These are men and women you have selected by yourself to pilot your program over the NIS. There is no man who has the capacity to serve your purposes to your expectation outside of your help. The Bible says we are not sufficient in ourselves, that our sufficiency is of God who has made us able ministers. Therefore, I pray for you, the enabling grace, let it rest upon you. Shout a believing amen. The enabling grace, let it rest upon you. Let the spirit of wisdom rest upon you. Let the power of the Most High rest upon you. You will not lack support as you serve. You will not lack help as you serve. Please hear me. You will not die while serving. I say it again. You will not die while serving. As you travel, you are protected. As you travel, you are preserved. You will not lift others and then have your children go down. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord will preserve your testimony. You will do ministry with integrity. You will love God's people and serve them with excellence. I pray for you that you will be united in the name of Jesus. Pride and a haughty spirit is far from you. You will serve with lowliness of mind. I bless you with all my heart, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare you blessed, empowered for service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. A big congratulations to you. God bless you. Please return to your seat rejoicing. return to your seat rejoicing. I want to say thank you to everyone. Like Pastor Paul said, I have visited this place every year for the last 10 years. It's amazing to know that it is 10 years already. And I want to thank you for the honor that you have given. Even if I'm speaking to only two people, it is an honor. The price for every soul is the blood of Jesus. And so every opportunity God grants to be able to minister his word, I do not take it for granted. I'm grateful to the ESCOs, both the administrative ESCOs of NIS for always receiving us, and then the ESCOs of the Chapel of Mercy. Thank you so much for giving an opportunity to serve God. And I pray that he grants us grace to keep fellowshipping together and keep strengthening ourselves. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. In Jesus' name.
Can you shout aloud?